So if you're getting ready for work, you're going to want to pause, pour yourself another cup of coffee, and just settle back for a few moments. Over the course of this program, the takeaway, we've learned a lot about food writer Kim Severson's relationship with and monster knowledge of food, such as this gem from last Thanksgiving.
We found a broccoli casserole belt that stretches from Appalachia down to Florida for some reason. That part of the country searches broccoli casserole like crazy. Cheese balls in the Midwest. And we weren't sure what it means. You know, does it mean they've forgotten every year how to make the cheese ball? Or is it a new phenomenon? Some things are a little hard to figure out.
Figuring out about food and life is certainly the mission of Kim Severson. She's an ace reporter, a spectacular cook, and also one of the warmest, smartest people you will ever meet. And never so warm or smart as in her new book, Spoonfed, How 8 Cooks Saved My Life. Good morning, Kim.
Oh, good morning, John.
Yeah, I have to say, this book is amazing. I mean, if you cook, you have to buy this book, because if you read this book, you feel suddenly not alone in the kitchen. There's any number of cooks and characters sort of helping you. This is a book of your own personal struggles, and I want to ask you why you wrote it. But in the end, it really feels as though the kitchen is a source and a place of salvation, and I really thank you for that.
Oh, well, thanks so much for liking the book. You know, I usually do journalism. I don't really write about myself that much. Someone said, you know, you could make money if you did this. I thought that was a good idea. But really, I had this idea of writing about older women, older cooks who were in the kitchen that I thought we might be losing touch with, people like Marion Cunningham and Anna Lewis, Leah Chase down in New Orleans. So I had this idea of doing profiles of these women. So when I started talking about it with some people, I realized that each one of them was important to me because I learned a life lesson from them.
A big life
lesson. Yeah. And, you know, and then as I looked at my, you know, I kind of stumbled into this food writing thing. I was just a news reporter, a cop reporter on the beat kind of person. And before I knew it, I, through good timing and luck, ended up at the San Francisco Chronicle writing about food full time. And when I look back, I realized these women taught me a lot of lessons, and I learned these lessons in the kitchen, and it turned into this book.
And let's talk about the 5 life lessons you've learned through your love of food.
Well, I've learned a lot of different things. Some things are, Rachel Ray is in this book, which I think people find a little surprising. But from her, I really learned about being authentic, about being yourself, and also about hard work. You know, the girl used to just haul her demo card around to the Price Choppers up in Schenectady before she was, and she just worked hard. From Leah Chase, I learned the value of really having faith. You know, I talked to her a lot after Katrina and went down and visited her, and she truly believed, you know, God was taking care of her, and she just needed to show up. She says, you know, God's a pitcher, and he pitches that long, slow curveball, and my job is to learn how to hit the curveball. So I learned things like that, but really I learned a lot about my own tastes, about what I like and what I don't like, but I learned to stand up and articulate it. In the food world, you know, there's a lot of pressure to be a know-it-all snob food taster and to pretend you like things even if you're not sure you do. So I really struggled to just be the good Midwest girl with a Midwest palate that I am.
But there's a lot of pain and revelation in this book.
Oh, the pain, the revelation.
Yeah, well, on page 163, when you wake up, you never know if the day might end up meaning everything. It could be the day you meet your wife, or the day you put down your last drink, or the day your baby is born. Sometimes what happens is so subtle that you don't even realize how important the day was until years later. Tell me about Miss Edna Lewis, who helped you to make a really important decision.
Well, you know, there are 2 things in this book that were really difficult for me to write about, actually that I struggled writing about. One was that I got a job being a food writer, and right about that time I realized that I was an alcoholic and needed to get sober, which was very difficult. It wasn't actually difficult. It's pretty clear I should need to stop drinking, but the stopping part
especially if
tough.
You're in the kitchen.
Well, and then, you know, I think this is God's great cosmic joke on me. I get a job in which I could sample the best wines in the world. I was moving to near an hour away from the Napa Valley, and the fact of the matter was I knew I couldn't take another drink. So that was tough. You know, I grew up in a big family of 5 kids, and I realized early on that I was gay, and that was, you know, back in those days we didn't have Ellen and Rachel Maddow. You know, there was a it was just we're walking through the halls in high school and enduring what you could endure. So I wrote a lot about understanding how I fit into my family. We had a pretty good don't ask, don't tell policy in my family growing up. Sure. And then I came across Scott Peacock and Edna Lewis. Scott's a white gay male cook. Edna Lewis was an African-American older woman cook and heterosexual, but they formed a beautiful family and relationship. He took care of her when she died. I met her shortly before she died, but they really helped me see that in order to come back and have a place in your own family, sometimes you have to go outside and make a new one, which is what they did. So that was a quite a moving chapter for me to write. It helped me resolve a lot of things.
Well, it's an amazing moment. I mean, among the life lessons you've learned through your love of food, perseverance, the stuff all those old people told you was true. The family table teaches you everything you need to know about being a decent person. I love that. Cooking for your family is one of life's greatest gifts.
It's true. And you're a big cook yourself. Right?
I am. That's right. But the one that I think is the real koan here, onion dip matters.
Onion dip.
I think onion dip matters. We have some in the studio. Yeah, I'm going to
sample
it, but
you
got a question.
I have a question for you, Kim, because, you did start to write a book that you thought would be a journalistic profile of these cooks who have meant a lot to you, and you ended up writing an extraordinarily personal memoir. How did that transition happen?
I feel like it was some great trick of the literary industry. I sat down and I started writing this book, and the editors and agents and friends were like, but how did you feel about that? So I say it's like unraveling a sweater. And once you start, and I realize if I'm going to explain a life lesson, I have to explain why I had to learn it. And then I realized at the end of the day, the only thing I could do was tell the truth about what was my life was. And that's what happened with this book. But kids, make sure if you try this at home, you're ready for it.
Tell me a little bit about this onion dip.
Here's the thing about onion dip. Now, I usually like to bring you guys a little bit better food. I think you remember last time I brought some Girl Scout cookie fried chicken. But the idea is that food is memory. There are things that we like that maybe, the California dip may not be the haute cuisine that New York City's known for. But, it reminds me of the first party I got to have in my rec room by myself with my parents. It reminds me of Sunday football games. Reminds me of parties. And I guarantee, put this out at a party, it'll be one of the first things that goes.
And it's delicious.
One of life's lessons from Kim Severson, friend of The Takeaway, author of the new memoir, Spoon Fed, How 8 Cooks Helped Save Your Life. It's a great book. Kim, thanks so much for coming in. Thanks for the onion dip.
Thank you so much for having me and liking the book. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
And we got onion dip.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.